Grace to all of you and peace from God, our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. So as we continue to go through the Bible in a year, we are really focused now on the New Testament and what's going on there. And right now, for a few more weeks, we'll be focusing especially on Jesus' life in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But specifically, I'm going to talk to you about how Jesus made disciples so that we can have a model for how we are called to make disciples as well. Because as I mentioned last week, I believe that our church should really, instead of being focused so much on numbers that are easily quantifiable, like how much attendance we get or how much money we receive, this kind of thing, we should really be asking, what are we doing as a church? That's what really matters. What are we doing? Are we making disciples? Are we becoming disciples ourselves? Because that multiplication is going to, in the end, mean a lot more for the kingdom of God than anything else. So last week I talked to you about the first step in becoming a disciple, which we called come and see. In order to become a follower of Jesus, you got to get to know him. You got to meet him. This is what happened with all of the disciples. They met Jesus. They got to know maybe about him or got to know him a little bit. But then once they were invited in, Jesus gave them a challenge. He'd say, follow me. That's what today is about. It's this next step. It's very nice to be welcoming to all people. Like, anyone can come to church. I mean, this is a really important part of our Christian calling. Anyone can walk in these doors. You don't have to be a Christian to walk in these doors. In fact, I mean, that's the only way the church grows is if non-Christians come in and become Christians, right? Anybody can come into church, any of us. But the question is, are we then going to challenge people to become followers of Jesus, to commit their lives to him? And so follow me is really about committing your life to Jesus. And one of the ways that this commitment, one way it looks like is a changed life. This is, I think, something that as maybe Lutherans were a little weak on, I guess, if I were just to be honest about it. I mean, Lutherans get some stuff really right. We say it's God's initiative to call us. We love God because Christ loved us first. We don't want to get ahead of ourselves. We don't want to act like it's our work, that we're not going to get to heaven on our own merit. And yet sometimes we forget that that doesn't mean we can't do anything. It doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't call us to do things. And one of the things he calls us to do is that our lives should look different because we're Christians. And our lives should look different after we've chosen to follow him, after we've committed our lives to him, his. In 1 John chapter 2, we read this. We know that we have come to know Jesus if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in Jesus must walk as Jesus walked. That's just one of the next steps, okay? You come and meet Jesus. If you want to commit your life to him, it's like, well, in what ways does my life not look like Jesus? What ways do I need to start changing, maybe repenting of my sins, and I need to start living my life like he has lived his life? And I think all of us have some work to do in this area, but it's one of the ways that we commit our lives to him and become his disciples. Another part of this is from, is explained in a short way in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let me find the verse. But the idea is this should permeate our entire life. I think it is easy for us to compartmentalize our faith to Sunday mornings, maybe to Wednesday nights too, if you're involved in with your kids in that way or teaching kids in that way. But to be a follower of Jesus means that your faith life is going to start becoming a bigger part of every section of your life, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. You understand what he's getting at here? It's like your life more and more, even the basic, the normal things you do, you should start thinking about how does God affect my life, even when I'm doing these things. In Colossians, in the book of Colossians, I think it's chapter 3, we'll find it, says, whatever you do, work at it for the Lord, or work at it with all your heart, not or as working for the Lord, not for men. Let me try that again. I messed up twice in one verse. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. So as you become a disciple, you have to start thinking, how does God affect everything I do? It doesn't matter what it is. How can you glorify God when you're doing it? Another way that we see this commitment come forward is through baptism. Especially if you're old enough to say on your own that you do want to be baptized, this is a way that we can commit ourselves to be a follower of Jesus. You don't have to be baptized to come to church. There are people that have not been baptized that come to church. But when they're saying, you know what, I know about Jesus and I want to be a follower, that step, that next step to being a disciple is to become baptized. We know that baptism is God's work, that he names and claims us in baptism. But it's an important step to say, I want that. I want to be named and claimed by Jesus. Baptism is important. We heard that story. You remember that really long reading that Jack had to read? Or not Jack, Josh had to read? It was like a page long. That was all the story about this servant of the queen of the Ethiopians. And he was interested in Jesus. He was reading his Bible, okay? But then he heard about it. He learned more from Philip. And then he was saying, wait a minute. What's to keep me from taking that next step? Why shouldn't I be baptized? And Philip was like, there's no reason you shouldn't be baptized. There's some water right here. Let's go do that. So that servant, and he took another step to becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. It wasn't enough to just know about Jesus, to come and see him. He wanted to be a follower. Now, for many of us, we were baptized when we were young, before we could really say on our own that we wanted to follow Jesus. So I believe that in the Lutheran Church, at least, another way that we can sort of take that next step from just knowing, coming and seeing Jesus to being a follower, we'll actually celebrate it in about a month. We call it confirmation. And that's when our younger folks, 7th and 8th grader, well, 8th graders, usually 8th or 9th grade, I guess, they will say on their own that they want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, again, it doesn't mean that it doesn't complete their baptism, okay? I think that's a danger. Sometimes we see it that way, that baptism is God calling us and promising to be our Lord forever. But this is just a way of saying, yeah, but I want to be your follower. I want to commit more of my life to you. And that's what confirmation is all about. And really, in Luke chapter 9, I was thinking that this is kind of a good verse to talk about confirmation, or passage to talk about confirmation. We heard it a little bit earlier. It says, once Jesus was praying in private, and his disciples were with him, and he asked them, who do the crowds say I am? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life. And then Jesus says, but what about you? I mean, you know what other people say about me, but what about you? See, he's challenging them, saying, you know all this stuff. Now I want you to tell me what you think. He's asking for that next step. Are you going to be a follower of mine or not? You can tell me what other people say, but what about you? And then Peter says, who do you say I am? Jesus asks. Peter answered, the Christ of God. And then he challenges them even more. He says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. So it's important that our church welcomes everybody, but it's also important that our church challenges everybody to say, okay, now that you know about Jesus, are you willing to commit your life to him? Are you going to follow him? Because he challenges the people that follow him to become more than just what they are, to do more than just sit there and watch him and watch his miracles. He says, follow me, and this is going to be a challenge on your life. So you might be asking yourself, you know, well, this first part is about how you or how we become disciples, but what if you have somebody in your life who you think might be interested in becoming a disciple of Jesus, who might be interested in taking this next step? Maybe they've come to church, maybe they've talked to you about Jesus, but how do you know if they might be interested in doing something more? The first thing that I'm getting this actually from a worksheet or a workshop that I attended at the LCMC convention, by the way, so this is all like stolen from Lakeville Church up in, Hosanna Lutheran Church in Lakeville, Minnesota. But the first thing that they say, these signs of engagement, is digging into the Bible. When somebody is reading their Bible all the time, that gives you a hint that maybe they might be interested in following Jesus a little bit more closely and really being committed to him. I am just amazed at how many people will read their Bible on their own. Like, I love to read my Bible, but there have certainly been times in my life where I'm like, you know what, I'm not that interested. I'm not going to just sit down and read my Bible at home. But some people are, and if you know somebody who is doing that, that tells you you should call out to them and challenge them to be a little bit more committed in their faith, because they are interested. They want to take a new step forward. Another one, well, before I went to seminary, I don't know if you've heard this story, but a lot of people were encouraging me to be a pastor. But finally, the time that I decided to do it, we were in a Chinese restaurant, and we opened a fortune cookie and said, you should be a pastor. I was like, all right then, fine. I'm just kidding. That's not what happened. I said, Christy, I'm just not happy what I'm doing, and I just don't get to serve anybody. And she said, maybe you should think about being a pastor. And I prayed to God about it, and I felt like he was definitely calling me to do that. And as soon as I did that, for the next week or two, I wanted to read every part of my Bible I could. Like, I just was so interested and so invested in it, I wanted to know everything I could. This is just a sign that somebody wants to be more committed to their faith. The next thing, another sign for people in your life to see if maybe they're interested in taking the next step, is if they're seeking a more biblical community. For instance, maybe they ask you, do you know of any churches? You know, what church do you go to? This kind of thing, asking that. Or maybe if they're younger, they say, you know, what about church camp? How do I get to church camp? How can I do that? These are people who are interested in making a more of a commitment to becoming not just a bystander of Jesus, but a follower of Jesus. So if you hear people with that are interested in being part of a community, that is a great time to really encourage them to be more committed. Another thing is if someone is interested suddenly in prayer. You know that line, there are no atheists in foxholes. This is the idea. Like, when you are really pushed hard in life and you're going through a lot of times a big trial, you have a couple options. And one of those options is to look for meaning outside of yourself, to look for meaning perhaps in God, to reach out to God, even though you might never have prayed before in your life. If there is somebody in your life who is doing that, that tells you that they are interested in maybe making more of a commitment to actually following Jesus rather than just knowing about him. It really, that's one of the reasons why a lot of times people become Christians during a really difficult time in their life, after something really bad has happened, or after a really difficult diagnosis or a really tough circumstance in their families, because they're forced to really talk to God and say, you know, I'm going to need to rely on God a lot more than I have in the past. Finally, one of the signs of engagement, and I think this is one we can all notice a lot, people start coming to church more regularly. You know, I'm not going to name any names, but since I've lived here, there have been people that I never saw a day in my life, and then all of a sudden they're here every week, or, you know, almost every week. And I think, now that person is obviously interested, right? This person wants to do more with their faith. They've been watching on the sidelines, but now perhaps they want to make more of a commitment to their faith than they used to. So then I want to end here by talking about your next steps. If you want to become a disciple, if you want to take that next step from just knowing about Jesus to being a follower of him, this is what you can do. First of all, I'm starting a community group. I mentioned this last time. I just thought I'd give it a couple weeks because not everybody comes to church every week. But I'm going to be getting a group of people together, and we're going to learn how to make disciples. We are going to figure it out. We are going to be meeting, I'm not saying it's going to be every week, it might be once a month, but we're going to be meeting a small group of us to figure out how can we become better disciples of Jesus, and how can we make disciples of others, how can we make more groups like this in our church. So if you want to be part of a group of people, a small group of people, I mean, it's not going to be, Jesus only had 12 and he's God, so I'm going to have to go with less than that. But we're going to work together, we're going to find a way to support each other in faith. We're going to invest in each other's lives, and we're going to find a way to reshape the culture of our church to be focused on disciples and not just getting butts in a pew. So if you want to do that, you need to talk to me, because I'll be reaching out to everyone next week about when we're going to start meeting. Secondly, though, if you want to become a disciple of Jesus, you want to make that next step and commit. If maybe you already attend worship regularly. When I was a kid, regular attendance, do you know what that meant? It meant that you were going to probably be at church every week. That's what it meant when I was a kid. Now, some of you might be like, I attend regularly. I come once a month, or I come once every other week. It's changed, that definition. We think of regular attendance like once a month instead of once a week. I would just like to challenge you, if you want to commit your life to Jesus, think about trying to make it more often that you're here at worship. I think about this. When I was running all the time, I'd run about every day. I wouldn't usually take more than a day off when I was running, because I would notice that I was just not as good in shape as I wanted to be. I mean, imagine if I only ran once a week. Like, is that good? Sure, it's good, but I'm not really going to see much success by doing that. It's the same way as a Christian. If you want to grow in your faith, coming once a month, while that's wonderful, or coming once every 3 weeks, while that's great, you're just not going to grow in your faith the way you want to, because it's going to be compartmentalized in this one part of your life. It's not going to really start permeating your entire life. So I'd encourage you to at least try to get here every week or as often as possible. Another thing you can do is start to get involved, all right? Start serving, or if you're already serving, step into some type of leadership. In John chapter 13, Jesus, this is when he's at the Last Supper with his disciples, if you know that story. And let me just read to you what he says. It says, when Jesus had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. The reason we're called to serve other people is because Jesus served us. And Jesus, it's like saying, hey, I'm God, and I served you, so why do you think that you can get away without serving other people, without getting out of your comfort zone and making a difference in the lives of other people? That's why we do it, okay? And I really encourage you, if you've just been on the sidelines, if you want to commit your life to Jesus more, if you want to be a follower, if you want to be a disciple, you really need to start serving others. You need to start investing in the lives of other people. And finally, if you really want to commit your life to Jesus, if you want to become a disciple, you really have to start thinking about giving. And I'm not just talking about your time and your talents. I'm talking about your treasures. I'm talking about like tithing. I'm talking about giving your money. Now you might say, oh, but our time and our talents are important too. Yes, you're right. But I'm telling you, if you start giving your money, it'll feel a lot different. Because people, they get nervous when you start talking about money. When you start giving your money, you're invested in a way you just aren't in those other ways. In 2 Corinthians, in chapter 8, this is what we hear. It says, just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this gift of giving. See, it says to excel in the gift of giving. I'm telling you, if you want to commit your life to Jesus, when you start giving to the church, you're going to start to feel, it's going to just start feeling different, because now you know, let's be honest, money is really important in our lives. That's why Jesus says where your treasure is, there your heart is also. When you start giving away your treasure, you start to realize that you're starting to be a lot more interested or focused on that thing that you're giving your money to. One of the things they mentioned at this LCMC convention, I think it's right, is it says most people never get past this step. We get baptized, we maybe start giving to our church, we start serving and maybe on council or something like that, and that's as far as we get. Next week, we're going to start talking about a step that most of us probably have never gotten to, which is following and then fishing. Okay, investing in other people, really focusing not on our own walk of discipleship, but in the lives of other people. So that's going to be next week. We've talked about come and see. We talked about follow me today. Next week, we're going to talk about following Jesus and fishing for people and making a difference so that we can start multiplying the disciples of Jesus in this world. Amen.